Hey everyone, I'm Chris Hall, and you're listening to the Downtime Podcast, where I'll be bringing you the most in-depth content from the world of downhill and enduro mountain biking. This episode is generously supported by all the awesome listeners who've made a Share the Love donation on our web store at downtimepodcast.com/shop. If you've listened to my New Year's Eve episode, then you'll know that I've been struggling to bring in the level of industry support that I need for this year, and so at this stage, it's your donations that are keeping the podcast going. So far, I've received enough to keep the podcast going for a bit over 1 week, so thanks to everyone who's donated so far. If you found the podcast valuable to you and you want to help keep the podcast going, then you can donate over at downtimepodcast.com/shop. If donating financially isn't right for you, then there's other ways you can help. Sharing our episodes on social media and reviewing the podcast wherever it is that you listen really help people find the show. Also, spreading the word and telling your friends about the podcast helps a lot too. The love and support from the listeners so far has been amazing, and it's really great to see how much you all enjoy what I'm doing. So thank you. It means a lot to me and ultimately helps keep this thing going. Don't forget that for all you downtime listeners, there's an offer on the Strength Factory's Complete MTB program, which is the same program that I'm using for my training this year. Head to thestrengthfactory.uk, that's thestrengthfactory.uk, to check out the program and use the code DOWNTIME, all lowercase, at the checkout, to either get yourself 50% off your first month or to get an annual subscription for £300, which will save you 28% off the whole year. Ben's programs are covered by his money-back guarantee too, so give him a go with no risk. That offer is valid until the end of January, so don't hang around if you're keen. Also, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast so you get every episode delivered straight to your device as soon as it drops. Just head to downtimepodcast.com/subscribe and you'll find all the links that you need. You can subscribe on all the big platforms like iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and plenty more. On that same page, there's a form to join our newsletter. We're not going to send you loads of emails or share your details with anyone, but you will get our weekend warm-up email every Friday with some interesting bike-related stuff to look at and get stoked for a weekend on the trails. Once you fill out the form, you'll get an email that you need to open and confirm your subscription, so don't forget to check your junk mail. All right, this week, Katie Winton returns to the podcast. Katie's had a tough season, battling with some pretty serious concussion injuries that have kept her from being at many of the races. Have a listen and find out more about her 2019 season, from injury to riding the Trans-Provence with her dad, vlogging, food allergies, and plenty more. So, without further ado, here's Katie Winton. Katie Winton, welcome back to the Downtime Podcast. Like, third full episode, maybe?
Yeah, third one.
Yeah, good back stuff. Again. Yeah, in Leithen again this time. So We're here for the Scottish Innovation Forum, which is tomorrow, I think. And obviously you're still in the valley before escaping to warmer climate.
Yeah. I only last so long and I need to get out here.
Yeah, tough place for winter training.
Yeah. Definitely. Definitely makes you tough. But now that I've realised I don't have to be here, I won't be.
Okay, good stuff. Well, let's go back to kind of where we left off last time. So I think you'd done the vast majority of the 2018 season, And it was Ainster and Finale were still ahead of you. Yeah. It had been a super tough year. It was the Enduro Wet Series. Everyone was having a rough year. Mm. And you were certainly one of that crew that were having a harder time than I think most people would have liked.
Yeah.
But you'd had a bit of a break, I guess. You'd had a few weeks off. You'd had a good gap in the schedule and a bit of time to refocus.
Yeah.
And then off to those two rounds to kind of finish off the year. How did that go from your perspective? Like, how did you feel when you got to the end of the season looking back?
I was actually completely burnt out, physically, mentally, everything just cooked. So it was... I'd changed coach in the middle of the season. We were just figuring things out. There was just a lot of change going on. You know, I'd hit the ground so many times that year, and I think everything had just taken its toll. So by the time it got to the last two rounds, I was just hanging on. And I actually needed about 6 weeks break after that because I was so ruined. So ruined.
Yeah, that's mad. It's a lot of travel. It's a lot of kind of, like you say, throwing yourself into the ground. Those rounds were so tough.
Yeah, like as I'd crashed so much, I think my body just was like, will you just be still for a little while because we really need to recuperate. There's not really a chance in the season to turn off. You're always on, and then when you're hitting the ground that much, your body doesn't get enough rest that it really needs when it's had that kind of sort of trauma shock.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Did you go through any kind of like rehab process once that, once your body had had a bit of a rest? How do you approach kind of rebuilding yourself?
Well, I actually headed out to Norway to my friend Jo Blades. Well, Jo Varna is now. She's got a Norwegian husband. But she was my osteopath here in the UK. And she's moved out to Norway. So I went to visit her and she actually did some like shockwave stuff on my shoulder, which I'd been having bother with all year. So she did a lot of work to that. And I saw pretty good improvements with that straight away. But then I actually got injured again hiking up Ben Nevis.
What?
Yeah, coming back down again. My ankles and my ankles are just a bit of a liability, basically, right. Which is why I've never, like, ever since I was a kid, like, I was 12 and went to gymnastics and my ankles weren't that happy about it. So I'd get, like, little injuries and I've always had random weird little muscle injuries just because I've got floppy feet and just...
Hypermobile joint or something?
Yeah, hypermobile in my knees and stuff, but I just, and I've always had weak glutes, and so there's always been like something that's been compensating for that and trying to get the balance right. So if my foot's not working properly, my hip's trying to come in, and there's just some mechanical thing going on that's just not that happy. So anyway, I was climbing up Ben Nevis, my good friend Anna Buick, and yes, after that, just kind of hung around for a long time in my knee, and it didn't get sorted until I actually went back to Jo Blades in Norway for a week for shockwave stuff. We loosened off, it was a functional problem with my foot. It was a tibia torsion, so the tibia bone was twisting. My glute and hip weren't slowing things down quick enough, so my knee was just getting twisted in the middle.
Yeah.
So once we sorted that function out, we could start actually making progress. So I didn't actually start training for the 2019 season until January.
Wow. Yeah. Mm. And considering race season starts pretty early for you guys.
Yeah.
That's leaving it pretty late, isn't it? Yeah. So what, how do they work out what is wrong with you then? What kind of assessment are they doing to understand this, like the issues that you had in your lower leg?
Well, Jo is just absolutely amazing. Like, she is amazing. And when she lived in Peebles, it was the best thing ever. Like, she was absolute gold for me. So she just has so much knowledge and experience, and I am a big fan of osteos because I think they don't just look at the problem, they look at the whole body and go, what is actually going on here? And so Jo worked with, she works in the clinic for Ala in Sola, in just outside Stavanger.
Okay. Yeah.
And so she works with the chiropractors in there as well. So I was working as a combination of that. And they both came to the same conclusion. So I guess it's just these professionals just know stuff. So,
years and years of experience.
Yeah, yeah. And I love it. Like, I just, the way that Jo works has always just amazed me. Because she just loves getting in about a problem and trying to fix it. And she always does.
Nice. Yeah, sounds so, like a good person to have on your
side.
Yeah,
yeah, definitely. She just needs to move back to Scotland.
All right, let's make that happen.
Yeah, yeah.
So what sort of treatment do you have to go through for that then? Is it kind of like awkward, annoying, frustrating exercises or?
That one was pretty good. We did a lot of soft tissue work. I was obviously getting the chiropractor working on the joints and everything, loosening them all up. We did sort of this cup suction stuff. There's probably actual words for these, but I don't really know what they are.
No, I don't either.
So that loosens off everything in the area, and then the shockwave thing just is like, I don't really know. I just think it's pulses of electric that just get shocked into your legs, and it can actually last for 4 weeks. Brings collagen into the area.
All right.
It can kill off the pain receptors so that you don't get pain, but actually. We did it right on, because we'd been working all around the knee, and then we put the shockwave right on it, and that was like the day before I left, and I'm not joking, I couldn't walk through the airport again. Like, I was sitting on the plane on the way there, and my knee hurt, like, and it was really bad, like, it was bad. I was just sore all the time, and then I was walking through, trying to walk through the airport, and it was so painful, and I was like, oh God, what have we done? But sometimes it actually just makes the pain receptors worse, so it did. And I was like, oh, no. And then it just started healing.
Amazing. So, yeah. I guess the collagen helps.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because it continues to heal for another 4 weeks. So it was like, that was at the start of January, and it was middle of February when I went to team camp, and I sat on the plane and I was like, oh, I'm not in pain. Like, the last time I was on a plane, I was actually in pain sitting here.
And how does the shockwave therapy feel when it's being done to you? Can you feel much?
You can feel it when it's on something that's damaged.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's quite painful. But you're meant to keep the pain a sort of 7 out of 10, but I try and make it just a wee bit more because, you know, no pain, no gain. Just make me really suffer because it'll be short term, but then I'll get the mega gains. So.
There's the race ahead in you.
Yeah.
Awesome. So, yeah, a bit of a frustrating off season. Do I remember rightly, you've did a bit of investigation into like allergy, diet-based allergy stuff in that off season?
I've actually been doing even more recently.
Go on, tell us a bit about that.
This is another thing from Jo, who she's also a clinical nutritionist. She was telling me about this diet thing, and it's like I really just wanted to do it for a challenge. It's like a cleanse, it's a detox, and we use this shake, and it's like an anti-inflammatory shake. So it's got loads of really good vitamins and minerals and stuff in it. It's, turmeric and rosemary and ginger and all this stuff. It's really good in that. So that's kind of your main thing. And then you eat green veg for 7 days. That's it. So,
whoa.
Yeah. So this was kind of like an off-season challenge, you know, not when I'm training. You literally can't really do anything because, you know, your body's working really hard. And that was, the idea of that was, right, okay, I'll clear everything out. You know, once you've been eating rubbish for a wee while because it's your off-season, you want to get back into it, clear everything out and then start afresh and then start bringing in, you know, a bit of gluten, mm-hmm. a bit of this, a bit of that to see what I'm actually allergic to or not allergic to.
Okay.
So I was really pleased that I managed to make it through this full 7 days, 100%, didn't have anything else apart from green veg and this thing. And actually it was really interesting because you hold fluid if you're, you've got any, like, the toxins, but also, like, the inflammation in your body.
Uh-huh.
So in 2 days, I lost 2 kilograms, and that would have been majority just the fluid of being inflamed.
Yeah.
Just going away.
Amazing.
So that was really interesting. I was like, wow. Yeah.
And that inflammation is coming from your body trying to process things it doesn't get on with, is that?
Yeah, that can be a real big thing because it gets stored in your joints.
Okay.
And before, when like the year before, when Joe was still in Scotland, I was away, and I don't think I'd been having dairy or something. And I came back, and she was like, "Are you taking something out of your diet?" And I was like, "Yeah, I was not been having dairy." And she was like, "I can feel it in your your joints." So that's really interesting. If you can kind of help your body, because you know you might not necessarily get major symptoms, like, you know, you might not have sort of gastro symptoms, but your body's still having to process something it's not 100% on. Quite interesting.
So once you started reintroducing different food groups, was there anything in there that you found that your body doesn't deal well with?
Chickpeas. Hate chickpeas. Yeah, it's really bad. Yeah.
Interesting.
I can eat hummus though.
Right.
Yeah, but it seems to be just the trying to break down, well, from my basic understanding, it seems to me the breaking down of the skin and everything in its little...
Okay, so if it's been bashed up already, then it's okay.
Yeah, it's all mushed up, then it seems to be okay. So, but for me, I'm still experimenting a little bit because I think onions and garlic are a thing.
Okay.
It's part of the FODMAP diet.
Yeah.
And chickpeas fall into that as well.
Mm.
So, yeah, I think I'm kind of in that little bracket.
Yeah.
I was kind of hoping that the cleanse might get me out of that. But
yeah, it's always it's frustrating when you find you've got some kind of, maybe not even an allergy, but your body's better off without something.
Yeah.
Especially if it's something you like.
It's frustrating, but it's also great because then you feel so much better.
Yeah. And it's a choice, isn't it? You can make that choice as to whether you put it in your body or not.
Do you want to feel good or not?
Yeah, fair play.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you've done a bit of work on that and feeling some benefits from it.
Yeah, definitely.
Nice. And then I guess, like, coming into 2019, it's an off season where you've not had too much change to the bike this time around. Because coming into 18, you had new suspension,
major
a lot of change.
Yeah.
So that's got to have helped, I suppose.
Yeah, definitely. I came in a lot more confident into 2019. I'm already thinking about 2020. I'm like, 2020. No, 2019. Yeah, I was definitely came into that in a lot better place. I knew everybody was on the team. It was just nice, like, going in knowing a bit more. I just knew that physically I wasn't 100% there, but that was okay because it's the start of season. We've got a long season ahead. We can just build into it.
Yeah.
So
And then first round was Tasmania, wasn't it? This year?
Rotorua,
sorry, yeah. Then Tasmania, yeah. So how did that go? Because did you have a bit of an incident there?
Yeah. I did stage one. I think I was fourth on stage one, so that was a good start.
Nice start, yeah.
Stage two, I don't even know where I came on that, but stage three, I actually crashed onto my face pretty hard, and that was kind of the beginning of the end. Because I hit the ground and I was like, you've hit your head. Like, usually you can kind of hit your head and you're like, oh yeah, I'm fine, carry on. But I was like, ooh, you've hit your head. And I went down, went back up to the next stage. And I got pretty much down all sort of gnarly stuff. And then when it got easier, I just sort of drifted and just fell off my bike again. And it was quite a weird sensation. Mm. Yeah, it was really not great. And I had the same thing, just went down, didn't put my hands out, just put my face to the floor. So I'd already kind of broke my peak on the stage before, and then I totally broke it in that next one. Finished the race. I was like, okay. hopefully we'll be all right for next week. You know, I wasn't really thinking about anything.
Yeah, because it was back to back, wasn't it?
Yeah. Flew to Tasmania. And then on the Tuesday, oh, it was ridiculous. I was just in a heap. We had to go shopping, and I could not cope with going shopping. Like, it was ridiculous. The boys, like, were like, oh, we need to, like, get stuff. And I was like, I can't actually. No.
It's just too much.
Like, yeah, it's just too much. And then they all went swimming in the sea, and I was like, I can't. I'm not going to be able to cope with a temperature change. Like, there was something not right going on. And we were doing, we've got head check. We work with them as part of the team. And I'd actually done a baseline test in February. We did another one. And then we were just kind of keeping an eye on me. And things seemed to be okay. I started feeling better after the Tuesday kind of thing. And then it was Tasmania.
And it bit.
Yeah. That was this 30 seconds into the first stage. Because, you know, before there was weird stuff going on before this, like in kind of before the season even started. I'd just be... Like, it's not till I actually say these things out loud that I'm like, there's kind of things going on that you should have really been paying attention to, but I would be just riding along and I'd just start to drift and just fall over. You know, like, there's three times that happened, you know, unexplained crashing.
Yeah.
I was just like, I don't know what's going on. Like, this is really, really weird. And, yeah, I got 30 seconds into the first stage in Tasmania, front wheel slipped out and I went down. I could see the rocks, but I was about to sort of head plummet into because I was on quite a high rock. But I actually gouged out my leg, like pivoted on my leg off a rock. So it was my shin that just got cheese grated off this rock. And it was honestly the most painful thing. I felt like I should have broken my leg because of the pain.
Right.
But it wasn't broken. So then I just felt like a fraud because I was in so much pain, but it was just a cut. And I was just like, oh my God. But the guys that were around, because that pain was so much, I hadn't even noticed that I'd landed on my head. But the boys that I was with, kind of, they were great guys. They came over and they helped me off the track and got my bike off, and they stayed with me the whole time. Nice. Like, they were amazing. They were like, "Is your head okay? Is your head okay?" And I was like, "Yeah, I think it's fine. I feel all right, but my leg is gonna fall off.
It's in bits.
But the thing is, it was so hard about those kind of situations. Like, that's the first EWS, probably like the second race of my life that I've not finished.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, so you've got a lot of emotion in that as well because, you know, I just finished races.
Yeah, you're programmed.
What happens?
Yeah.
Like, I just will finish the race. So there was all of that emotion going on as well. And then this horrifically sore leg. And then, yeah.
And then I'm guessing the head assessment came back slightly less optimistic at that point.
Well, to be honest, I don't really remember because I wasn't really, I don't know, I was just getting on with it. I was more gutted about not finishing the race and everything, and everything was kind of okay. It was almost like it was delayed. It tends to be delayed. And that was all right. Like, I wasn't really paying attention, you know what I mean? I was just cracking on, getting on with it. It wasn't until I got, so I was in, stayed out in Tasmania for a bit of a holiday for like a week after, and a week later I tried to ride a little bit, but I knew there was something not quite right, and I was just like, okay, well, you don't need to ride, like, you can just, you're just on holiday, just chill out. So we went to Medina, and that was mint, but didn't really get to properly ride. So then I went back to New Zealand, because I was going back there anyway, and just got, did some testing and stuff, and that's when I kind of was like, you know, because I'd been busy, it wasn't until I, like, stopped, because I tried to do a Sudoku, right, on the way home, and I was like, my God, I can't hold the concentration, and it's making my head really hurt. And I was
like, that's a sure sign.
Yeah, but I'm just ignoring it, just being like, nah, you're just tired. And then it was like, oh, actually, that headache is there all the time. I kind of just thought maybe I was dehydrated.
Okay,
it's kind of that dull.
Yeah.
And I was like, nah, that is there all the time. And I hadn't been driving that whole week. But then I came back and I started driving, and I was like, hmm. And it felt like somebody was, like, squeezing. You know those little things in those, what's it called?
Oh, like the grabber machines in the arcades.
Yeah, the grabber machines, yeah. So it was, I felt like somebody had one of those grabbers and was squeezing my head when I was driving. I just wanted to shut my eyes. So that was another sign. It was probably not good.
Yeah.
And I was just wrecked, just getting through days and stuff like that. And turning from the kitchen counter to the fridge vice versa was not good either, so that twisting wasn't great either. And so my friend Kate, I seem to make friends with all my osteos, so Kate was amazing.
Watch your hand on the mic.
Oh, sorry. Sorry everyone. Kate was amazing, because she let me stay at her place, and then she managed to make contact with sort of one of the top sports doctors in Christchurch to get me in pretty quick to see somebody that would know something about concussion. So I'm eternally grateful for her for speeding that whole process up and getting me sorted, really. So I worked with Anika. I can't remember her second name, but she was great. She's a sports doctor, works with like all the rugby teams and stuff like that. And out of all the people in New Zealand, she was telling me, like, you know, they've got the top guy in New Zealand for concussion who's in Auckland, and she's kind of like the prodigy.
Oh, awesome.
So the next in line, I was like, well, this is absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, that's what you,
you
need.
Know, like, of a not great situation, being absolutely miles from home, I've ended up with really good care. So she worked with me. You know, she wasn't too worried about me here and now. She was like, you're not right, but you're not, like, seriously bad. But what I'm concerned about is the amount of hits you've had in not very long.
Yeah, because you'd had a big crash in, was it Lag as well?
Yeah, really big. And I think this has all started from there, really, and gone kind of not treated properly the whole time. Just through complete ignorance on my part and not really understanding and everything like that.
I don't think many people understand it, really.
No, it's a really difficult thing to understand because it's so random and everybody's slightly different. And people, you know, I kind of was like, well, you need to be knocked out to have something wrong with your head. Nah, you don't. You can just hit your head. Yeah. Multiple hits, it's bad. So I worked with a physio out there as well, and we worked on the vestibular system because that was obviously what was out. That was why the twisting and stuff wasn't good.
Okay.
And so we worked on that. And
what does that involve? What sort of stuff do you have to do?
Well, so you close your you do various different tests of like balancing. So like closing your eyes, stand on one foot, stand on the other foot, stand on something like a bit of foam that's just wobbly.
Yeah.
And that's just, we'd stand on a piece of foam on my one foot, close my eyes and fall over. And by the end of the sort of 4 weeks of work, that was the other thing. They were like, don't travel home because the jet lag's going to put you back. So stay here for 4 to 6 weeks. So I did. But anyway, by the end of that time, I could then stand on that foam with my eyes shut. No problem. So that was, it's all of these things have been good for me to be like, there was actually something wrong with you.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, because at the time you're just like, is there something, you know, what was normal? Because I can't even remember.
Right.
Like, I just wasn't paying attention. You don't pay attention, you just do life, don't you? And then it's not till something goes wrong that you're like, is this different? Is it not different? Is this like, you know, was I always like this? Could I not concentrate on that all the time? I just didn't notice. But now that I'm thinking about it,
Yeah, you start getting a bit mad, I guess.
You do, because, and I hate it because it was all, it's all in your head, and they want feedback from you. And you're like, I don't know. I just want you to x-ray my head and tell me that it's still broken, or x-ray my head and tell me that it's fixed. Like, yeah.
But it's so subtle, I guess, some of this stuff. It's really hard for them to like just measure something and go, yeah it's this. So.
To get objective data on it is so difficult.
Yeah.
So luckily the objective data we did get in February, we could use for the test that I then did. And by the time I was finished, I was actually scoring better than I was in February. So
nice.
That was really, really good.
Yeah.
Just to know that everything was kind of cleared up and hopefully.
Yeah. So your baseline had gone up.
Yeah. I then later in the year in July, I went back to Norway again to see Jo, but they've got a neuro bit specifically for, they do a lot of work with stroke patients and stuff like that.
Right.
So I went to see him, and that was really, really interesting because we did a lot of stuff on the eye movement. So he was like a dark room, and he had cameras on my eyes, and I had to follow dots and look at things, and he could see what was going on. He was like, yeah, there's a bit of a discrepancy here, there's a bit of a discrepancy there. And this is in July, right. So this is still quite far on. So then he did some treatment, chiropractic treatment, cracking my neck and stuff like that, because a lot of, like, some concussion could come from your neck as well. When it's tight in different ways, it's pulling on your brain and stuff like that, all this. And then we did a bit of eye training. So I still do that now, training my eyeballs to try and make them track a bit better. Another fun fact, because I'm dyslexic, apparently dyslexic brains are more likely, like, more susceptible to concussion. I was like, oh, great.
No,
I thought
way.
By doing sport, I was kind of getting away from this brain thing, but no.
Coming back again.
Yeah. But also, another thing that was like, there was something wrong. So in stroke patients and anybody that's had sort of a brain trauma, this is going to be very basic terminology, right? The wee hangy downy thing in the back of your throat, right?
Yep.
If that's off to an angle, the opposite way that it's pointing is where the trauma's been. So that's the side the trauma's been. Because the arches that hold that wee dangly thing, if there's been a trauma, it goes straight, doesn't arch. And so then it pushes the wee dangly
in
the direction. And he was like, you can see that here. And I was yes, you know, thank you. You are because you almost feel like you have to justify it to people. Like, there is actually something wrong with me. And it must, like, I really got a full, an understanding and appreciation for people that have mental illnesses. Because I was like, it's not mental illness. Like, I've hit my head, like, this, I'm injured.
Yeah.
You know, the same as them. They're injured.
Yeah.
Like, and you almost feel like you have to justify to people.
It's invisible.
Something. Exactly. Yeah. And it's savage. And I was like, wow, I'm getting a little sort of light shed onto how people must feel.
Yeah.
Who are battling with all this stuff.
For sure.
People want to see signs. You know, they want to see me not be able to balance or something, you know, something the same as me. I'm looking for that in myself. Like, is there something you can't do? Do you really have you really hit your head or what?
So are you back, like, 100% now, or is that hard to say, kind of?
Yeah, who knows what 100% is, but I feel like, I feel good.
Right.
I feel I'm not having any of those weird turns. I didn't actually since all that nonsense.
Okay.
Time. I've not had any more of that. Not even an inkling of it, like, not even felt that way. So the balance must be back on point. I'm really happy with where I am.
Good.
And I learned so much from it that I'm kind of just more aware now. And when anybody has an issue or that, just I'm like, just be careful.
Yeah, slow like, down. Really not give worth it time. It. Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah, it's a good job. You got the kind of level of care that you did, I guess, really. Because it could be very easy to try and ignore and push on and then have bigger crashes and bigger injuries. So
yeah, totally.
Yeah, good stuff. So then you made a comeback kind of later on in the season, and you had the privilege of riding the final ever Trans-Provence with your dad.
Yeah, that's really a highlight of my life, actually. Yeah.
That's super cool.
Yeah. Dad had always, he's always wanted to do it. Always wanted to do it. And it was the final one. He's like, right, I'm going to do it. And he's a teacher, so he had to get time off work. But he's 50 this year.
Okay.
So he's 50 and I'm 25. So it's quite cool.
Nice.
This is his thing to do. And when I'd done the Trans-Provence before, I was like, yes, Dad, you definitely need to do it. It'd be amazing, blah, blah. So we both entered in November. We got in. And so it was very exciting. And actually, I remember being in New Zealand, still not knowing, like, I couldn't ride my bike still, and I was just like, Transparence isn't really that far away, like, maybe I'm not actually going to be able to do it,
yeah,
you know? And I was like, because it's so unknown, and it's like, oh, if you go and you're not fully fit, like, you're putting yourself at risk of crashing again, and I don't really want to do that, and so it was kind of a bit touch and go for a while. So actually being able to be there and do it with Dad was just even better, you know?
Yeah.
It was always going to be special, but it was just felt like a real victory just to be there and be able to share that with him.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
I saw a photo of the two of you on Pink Bike with massive grins on your face, looking pretty happy about life.
Yeah. Yeah, it was really cool. It was really nice. We rode most days. My dad's an absolute liability, right? It was a full-on role reversal. I couldn't believe it. I was like, I thought you were a really good dad. You are just a liability. Anytime I took my eyes off him, he was crashing or having punctures. I think it was like the first day or the second day, right? And we were getting, there was going to be a hailstorm, right? And I was like, I'm not going to get wet. We're nearly at the end of the day. You know, I'll just go at my own pace. Dad will go at his own pace. He's not that, he's like just with me. I was like, right, Dad, I'm just going to, you know, crack on a little bit. Just Dad, I'm not getting wet. Yeah. I don't want to get wet. So I was in these trees, sheltering with a couple other people, and it was absolutely hailing down. And I was like, oh no. Right. I kind of lulled a little bit, and I was like, right, I'm just going to go. Went down, and the starts aren't like major sort of big signs. It's literally just like a piece of A4 paper, laminated, stuck to a tree, and then you've got the timer thing that mm-hmm. you tap yourself and off you go, or if you've got somebody there, they tap you. Because I've done it before, I knew that's what I was looking for, found it, went down. So I'm sat at the bottom, and I'm like, Dad, it's taking a long time, right? Sat at the bottom. Anyway, someone comes down, and they're like, oh, I saw your dad on the track. He's got a puncture. I was like, all right, where's that? He was like, oh, it's in the rocks, in the stage. And I was like, all right, cool. Anyway, then I get a phone call of Dad being like, oh, I've just punctured, but I'm not at the start of the stage yet. Yeah, I'll be down in a bit. And I was like, where's your puncture? Oh, just on the rocks. I'm like, So I'm down there with Ross Lambie. He's the marshal at the end. And I was like, I think he's in the stage. I think he's missed the start. So anyway, get out my iPhone. Right? I'm a recent iPhone person, right? Find your friends on the iPhone. Found my dad. We're looking at the map on my phone, and we're looking at the real map. And so I phone him back. I'm like, Dad, I think you've gone past the start. He was like, what? There was nobody there. And I was like, there's not usually anybody there. And I felt so bad because I'd just gone.
Just ditched him. I'm not getting wet.
I'm not getting wet, Dad, sorry. So anyway, he pushes all the way back up to do the start, to do the stage. And he did it again. And then he started getting a slow puncture towards the bottom. So that was the drama. Another day, I went ahead just a wee bit. And then I'm waiting for him. I'm like, where is he? All these people coming down. And they're like, oh, your dad's crashed. And he's put a huge hole in his elbow. And I was like, what? I was like, right, Dad, from now on, you're riding in front of me, okay?
I'm keeping an eye on you. Yeah. Wicked. Did he enjoy it, though?
He did enjoy it. It's such a challenging kind of riding if you've not done it before. Like, super, the Alpine sort of walker track thing is difficult.
Yeah.
It's like walker tracks. And they're not built for bikes, and so they've got those really tight switchbacks and stuff. And so it was just hard to, like, there were some trails that were enjoyable.
Right.
But to find the flow in them takes a wee bit longer. So he loved the experience and stuff, but I think the riding was just quite difficult.
Okay.
And he's a really good rider.
Yeah.
But it's just, he's never experienced anything like that, really. So
yeah, I've got a few friends that have done it and said it's a pretty challenging week, like a lot of fun.
Yes.
An amazing place to visit and a great experience, but
yeah,
the trails are full on.
Yeah. Full on. Yeah. Completely blind and everything like that. So it's straight in.
Wicked, yeah, good way to get back into racing then.
Yeah, well, I definitely wasn't racing that week. I was staying safe. I was like, this is a training week, you're here to train. That was probably the hardest part of that whole process, because I discussed with the doctor in New Zealand, you know, okay, this is what I'm thinking, I'll come back in the start of August. And so anything I was doing before then was for training to be back on form by then. So you just have to kind of swallow your ego a little bit and just trust. And my coach, G, Garrett Flora James, he's a professor at Napier University, and I 100% trust him. And which is quite difficult, like, because I'm like, I know that this is going to work out, because I really trust you, but I have to just suffer through these things knowing that I'm not on form,
yeah,
that I'm just ticking the boxes to be on form for Whistler. So that was actually really difficult.
So that was your aim then, to kind of work your way back, and Whistler would be your first race, in inverted commas, I guess.
Yeah, because I knew I'd be able, you know, fit and conditioned and able to actually race, not just kind of be safe. Mm-hmm. So,
did you ride the media recce at one of them?
Yeah, I rode the media recce in Kennetsay.
How was it? Was it
fun?
It was
amazing. I think I lucked out, by the way. That was the best media recce, one of the best ones they've ever had. They told me that, and I was like, oh, that's mint. Because we toured about, we got a bit of information, we went up to this really nice restaurant, got amazing food, like local cuisine and everything, and just had a really lovely day. Like, it was really, really good. So, excellent. Yeah, I was like, oh, yeah, I can do this. This is mint.
Media life.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Well, we should mention your new little project. Yeah. Your media project.
Media project, yeah.
Because once you've said it, you're going to have to do it.
Well, it's definitely coming out. It's still under wraps at the moment. By the time this is done, people have seen it and they'll be like, oh yeah, we've seen that. And if you've not seen it, you should definitely go and watch it. I'm saying this before I've even edited it. I've done a vlog, people. I've done a vlog.
It's happening.
It's happening. It's happening. So, yeah. That's a thing now.
So are you going to have your own YouTube channel?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'll just put it on the YouTube. And
excellent.
People watch YouTube nowadays. Like, I believe they don't watch telly, they watch YouTube.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep,
my dad's one of those.
Right.
And that's how I know this, you see. He goes on, he watches these things on YouTube. My brother does as well. He's a farrier, like horseshoes.
Oh, yeah.
But he likes... He's quite creative and stuff, and he wants to make Damascus nice and all this. So anyway, there's a really good, this Alec guy on the YouTube who does all these really funny videos about how to make all this stuff. So I sit and watch them sometimes as well. But YouTube is a big thing.
It's huge, yeah.
So I was like, well, I've got some news. I want to explain it.
Yeah.
Why not share it in this kind of format? Try it.
Yeah. So is it, what's the longer term plan? Do you want to like put things out regularly? Is it just a way of sharing what you're up to? Like, how are you approaching it?
Well, I kind of am probably going to always have a bit of a theme to it. I don't want it just to be willy-nilly, here I am doing this thing. It'll be like, you know, this one's like about injury.
Uh-huh.
The next one, I don't know what it's going to be about, but... could be about nutrition, could be about other things that, you know, other aspects and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, always a sort of theme. That's what I want to keep to, really.
Good stuff. But you need a new computer to do the editing on.
I think I'm going to need a new computer, yeah, because my computer and my phone do not communicate, and they're both Apple. My Android and my computer communicated a lot better than my Apple and Apple, which is ridiculous, because I thought, having an iPhone, I was like, sweet, this is great, I've got my MacBook already, now I have an iPhone, this is going to be easy. No, they don't communicate. So, my laptop is too old now, 2011. It's before it started doing AirDrop to anything apart from a Mac.
Right.
So.
Oh dear.
Yeah, oh, well. Technology.
Yeah, so are you going to be permanently attached to a camera for the rest of the year?
No, definitely don't want that. Definitely don't want that. Just here and there, I think.
Yeah, in moderation.
Yeah, but I think like race recaps and stuff like that could be quite good, because you don't always get the full insight of what really went on. It's hard to summarise it in one post with words.
Yeah.
And people don't really read things anymore.
No, click like and move on.
Yeah. Oh, there's a picture, like, bye, or photo kind of thing, so...
Yeah, interesting. Oh, I look forward to that. That'd be good.
Well, hopefully. I'm bigging it up, and I haven't even edited it yet, so hopefully it'll be good.
I'm sure it'll be great. Whistler, then.
Yeah, Whistler.
Fourth place, first race back.
Yeah.
How was it from your perspective?
Well, I just love Whistler, so it's always a good time. It was quite chaotic. The first stage, the longest stage of the weekend, top of the world, from the very top of the hill all the way to the bottom, 20 minutes or whatever. To put down a fourth on that stage, I was like, yes, that is awesome.
Yeah.
Like, I was really happy with that. But my God, the next day I was wrecked. And then it rained, so it was a completely different ball game. I was probably still a little bit cautious, you know. Didn't want to go down. I was catching Caro and stuff as well, but she was mint. Like, we were just working together to try and get through that. It was only towards the bottom of the trails. And then the last stage had an absolute stormer. overtook two people and was second on that stage. So it was like, I think what my coach had to keep reminding me, because I was quite disappointed with this year, and he was like, the pace is there.
Yeah.
Like, the pace is there. Once we get full winter training in, like...
Yeah, because you had, like, the worst possible start to a season, like, physically.
Mm.
Like, you started training late because of various issues. You've had a huge kind of brain trauma thing to work through, which is going to set you back massively. Yeah.
And like, that was 6 weeks off.
Yeah.
So, like, everything I'd gained, I lost again.
Whereas everyone else is on that treadmill training, getting fitter and stronger. So,
yeah,
to come back and get fourth place on a place that's pretty full on as well. Like, it's not an easy weekend, is it?
No, it wasn't. But it was meant. I was really, really happy with that, just to kind of get a solid... something solid under my belt.
Yeah.
So that was great. Meant to back up the next week somewhere where I was not comfortable in North Star with a fifth. That was good.
That looked gnarly.
Yeah, like it was, you know, the rocks and stuff were fine, but it was the corners were like sand. And so I just didn't know what to do with them, really.
Totally new experience.
Yeah, exactly. It was like, these corners are like bike park corners, but they are a sand pit. So how do you get around them? No idea. So, yeah, it was definitely new. And I was just, again, I was just like, you know, there's nothing to prove here. I would actually like to get to the end of the season, having not hit my head again, and just, you know, at least 6 months.
Yeah.
If I hit my head
staying
again.
Off the ground for a bit.
Mm.
It's always good, isn't it? And then on to Zermatt. And get a pretty different venue, like quite alpine in style.
Yeah, that was amazing. That place is absolutely amazing. And doing that race is probably the best thing to do to ride in Zermatt, because you get to ride these trails full gas with no walkers on them.
Perfect.
So, yeah, and they did an amazing job, because I'd been there the year before shooting a video with them. And the trails they showed me and stuff, I was like, there's a couple here that are decent, but then they made a lot more trails for the race, and then it was a sick race. Like, it was a savage race, like a proper enduro. I was like, wow, we've not had one of these for a while. So it was like a real challenge physically, mentally, technically, everything. So it's kind of the ultimate
race. Nice way to end the main EWS series for the year.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Good showdown for sure.
And then off to finale for something a bit different with the kind of team format event. First time world championships on the line, like some form of the UCI stripes, although they're kind of weird form.
Yeah, weird form.
Don't understand that. Yeah.
Didn't get an explanation. I kind of thought we'd just have the jerseys, so it's a bit odd.
It's a bit weird.
Yeah.
Don't understand that
one. I've not had the brief on the story behind that yet.
No, I don't know why that is. They're like the Masters World Champ stripes, I think, aren't they? Yeah. Like thinner and strange. Yeah. Anyway, enough
hopefully
about
that's going to get rectified for next year.
Yeah.
Maybe it was just because it was the first year.
Trial
so
run.
So fingers crossed.
Yeah. But so you were in a team with Bex Barrett on it and Becky Cook.
Yep.
And you had a pretty good support crew.
Yeah, because I wasn't actually racing until the Tuesday.
Right.
Yeah. Because Ella was on the team.
Okay.
Because she'd had a stormer of a year. But unfortunately broke her radius.
Yeah.
In Les Ors. So she came back in Zermatt and it was just too much, which was a real shame because she'd had such great form. Like, I wanted to see her, you know, Team GB do well regardless. And actually, I was quite keen for the season to be over. I was like, I am done with this year.
I'm here for the gelato.
yeah. And pizza and cocktails. Thank you. yeah.
But drafted in last minute then.
Last minute, yeah. So that was cool. It was an amazing experience and just an awesome week. Like, it just took me back to when it all began, enduro for me, like, going to these races with my pals, just having a laugh.
Yeah.
It so
looked like, I think everyone was a bit skeptical of it. I got the impression people going and were like, this is a bit weird.
Nobody knew what was going on.
Everyone was buzzing afterwards.
Yes.
It looked mint. Like, all the trains of people and must have been good fun.
It was really good fun. It was really good fun. And it was really nice having a team to work with. Because whenever I don't like team events, right? I don't like team working as a team, but I think that's because when I was at school, high school and everything, when you're with the other girls, the majority of them aren't really that into sports. Yeah. And so you're trying to, you know, win a wee hockey game and you're the only one person playing.
Yeah.
But you've got five other people around you and you're like, why are you doing? What are we doing? So I was just like, I'm never playing team sports ever. But then you get a team where they all want to win just as much as you. And you're like, sick, right, let's do this then.
Yeah. How did you organize it? Did like one person lead and others follow? Did you mix it up?
So The first stage was the longest stage of the weekend. It was kind of smooth, flowy, but it was actually pedally and physical. So I led that one out. I had Bex and Becky behind me. And I was like, I went out and I was just like, you know, trucking along like that. And Bex said afterwards, she's like, yeah, I thought it was a bit easy at the start. And I was thinking, yeah, I didn't think it was a bit easy. I was like, oh God, I hope I'm not going too fast, too early. But they were obviously getting the draft, which is mint. They were flowing down the top section, flow, flow, flow. And then it wasn't until like sort of the second, third climb that I like pulled away. But both of them were like, that was mint because we were chasing. I was obviously got the motivation of them behind me. I'm trying to keep pushing on. So I think with that, we all got the best out of each other because yeah. we were close enough that we could just crack on. And then towards the end, it was only like maybe five to 10 seconds, well, not even 10 seconds between us at the end of that stage. So nice. That was awesome. We didn't lose that much time at all.
Yeah.
So then after that, we kind of just picked and chose. You know, the second stage was more corners. So that's Bex's strength. She led and I followed her. Becky behind me. Becky led the next one. The last one, I led down that. Becky followed me the whole way down. Just again, for the physical aspect of it, that's what she felt her weakness was. So she just trucked on behind me. Bex didn't want anyone near her down that thing because it's that last stage is gnarly. He kind of just wanted...
That's DH men, yeah?
Yeah,
down to the over the cliff, like the iconic... Yeah, the iconic stage.
So she didn't want anyone near for that. But we were buzzing. Like, we just kept our heads all day. And I was on social media, hard at the media. Oh, God, what's happening to me? Anyway, so I was on the social media pretty hard and I was getting messages from people and they were like, do you know what's happening? Because we couldn't get results anywhere.
Right.
Anyway, it turned out we were leading after stage three. And I was like, oh, guys. Because we were like, yeah, we could win. And it was like, well, let's just win it then. Let's just do it. And... You know, we just kept our heads with that. We were like, yeah, we're just going to win it. You know, just kind of keeping that. There's no point having any doubts. You may as well just go all in. And so we were pretty gutted to, like, miss out by 8 seconds. But I think if we hadn't, you know, pushed as hard as we did, then maybe we wouldn't have even been as close.
Okay,
so,
yeah.
You know, it's like aim for the stars and maybe you'll hit the moon or whatever the saying is. It might be the other way around. But, you know, if you aim really high... then you might get somewhere pretty close.
You win it next year when they've got the proper stripes.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
job done.
When it's legit.
Yeah.
Legit.
But second place is still, like, that's pretty good against, I mean, it was the French team that won, wasn't it, I think? And that's, that again, it's a strong
really
team.
Really strong team. So to be that close was awesome. We were really pleased with that.
So. Nice. Good work. So looking forward to doing that again next year if hopefully. The teams work around that way.
Yeah. I mean, the GB women are so strong. We've got so many. And it's amazing that we could have a team... have someone drop out and have someone come back in. And
still get a second.
Strong.
Yeah, no, it's mega, isn't it?
A really positive place.
Yeah. And you all seem to get on really well, which is nice too. Like,
yeah, we do. We've all got our own, we've got our little Snapchat group together and stuff. It's,
Snapchat, wow.
Oh, yeah. 21st century.
I haven't upgraded to Snapchat yet. Too old.
It's fine. So, no, it's good. Great vibes. Amazing sport team with Martha on the media. Ella had many roles. What was she? Masseuse.
Mechanic,
yeah. Psychologist, tactics.
I saw they hired mopeds as well to get around.
Which
could have ended in dramas, but...
Yeah. Oh, and then we had the under-21s with us as well. And they were rad. Like, Hattie Harden is just an absolute machine. So them winning the under-21s is just so awesome to see.
Mega, yeah.
So buzzing for them.
Nice, yeah. Good strength in the UK women's field.
Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah. Like, to have it at the, you know, elite level, but also at the junior level as well.
Yeah. Having up and coming riders is great.
Yeah.
Awesome. And then you've had a bit of time off, a bit of a break from bikes and everything involved with it.
Yep.
And I spotted you'd been on an art course.
Yes, I was.
Tell me about that.
Well, every off season, I'm always like, oh, you should do some art. You know, because I quite enjoy art.
So you've got a background, you've done a bit in the past, right? This wasn't a deep immersion, brand new thing.
Well, I've done a wee bit of, for some reason I can draw birds, don't know why.
Okay.
So I've done a couple of birds for my grandparents and stuff.
Yeah, nice.
For mama's presents. But never landscaped, I've never been able to do a landscape. So, and I wanted all the materials provided because I've never used acrylics or oils or anything like that. And so... I found this one down in Cornwall and I was like, well, never been to Cornwall either, so may as well just do it. Got a bit of time. Headed down, 4 days art course. First 2 days were watercolours, didn't really get on with that. And then just got wild with some proper paint and this sort of abstract artist, he does abstract landscapes. And I just was like, whoa, opened my eyes and I just went wild. Just like, just became all, you know, you put energy into that stuff. It doesn't have to be perfect. You know, you always have to get things right in life and get, you know, it's got to be good and da-da-da-da-da, so many boundaries and rules. And to do that was just like, whoa, felt free.
Yeah, because as an athlete, you're so constrained by like your program and everything. You're ticking boxes the whole time.
Yes.
So yeah, to just let loose and get creative must be fun.
Oh man, it was so good. I absolutely loved it. It was almost like she gave us that permission to be that expressive. And I was just like, whoa. Just a whole new eyes for art. Because when I'd done art at school, it was always like, you need to draw this sort of life, still life. So you need to draw this little pumpkin and this silly little candlestick and, you know, this little pepper that you've brought in. You need to colour it in perfectly.
Yeah.
And I was just like, you know, it doesn't have to look like what it is. It can be whatever you want it to be. People make heaps of money just making random shapes and scraping out and all this. And I was like, whoa.
So when's the Katie Winton art sale going on?
Yeah, just watch the space. That's next as well.
After the vlog,
yeah. Maybe that can be my next vlog.
An art-based vlogging. Yeah.
You
could teach us all how to do it.
Here I am, trying to do art.
Is it something you think you'll keep up a bit, like, in your spare time? Was it enough to kind of get you hooked?
Yeah, for sure. It's just finding the space, you know. I'm just still at home, so I haven't got my own home yet. Once I have my own home and have a bit more room to sort of put these things, you know, once you create it, it's like, where are you going to put it?
True. Yeah.
So, but yeah, definitely it lit up something in me that, you know, it's probably been there but hadn't found its way out yet.
Wicked.
So it was really cool.
Yeah.
So if anybody's thinking about doing it, just do it.
Get involved.
Yeah, definitely.
Nice one. And so, how are you feeling after, was it 5 or 6 weeks off?
Yeah, I had about 3 weeks, 2 weeks, 2 weeks off.
Yeah.
Then I did the detox thing. Then I had a sort of week of return to activity.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, that's kind of when I got slapped in the face of, what's going on with your wrist? And then I was like, don't really know. I kind of thought it was just going to get better because it's... And then it hadn't, so then it was just, I've just been running and swimming.
Yeah.
Which is, have you swum before?
I, believe it or not, as a 40-year-old adult, cannot swim.
Oh, really?
Well, I can just about swim very badly and very inefficiently. Okay. But yeah, I'm not a water baby.
Okay, so to you, I can swim, right? But to anybody that knows how to swim, I can't swim, right?
Okay.
This is the situation I'm in just now. So I've been watching YouTube videos, right? Trying to learn how to swim. But see, like, they talk... Right, so when I swim, I go 1, 2, 3 of my arms, 1, 2, 3, breathe, 1, 2, 3, breathe, right? That's the level of coordination that I have. But on the YouTube, they tell you, arm, leg, and you only need to do sort of like one arm, one leg. And then one arm and one leg. And that sounds quite efficient to me, right? I do my legs all the time and then just do my arms. Can I do that? No, I cannot. I've been trying. I went on a 50-meter pool, right? Trying to do my arms and legs. Not happening.
That's another one to work on, the old coordination then.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Definitely a new challenge. It's quite good. It's a good new challenge.
It's hard work as well.
Yeah, definitely a full-on workout.
Yeah.
And it's a lot... warmer wetness than it is the cold wetness that's currently going on outside.
That is very... Yeah, it's been super cold here, isn't it, the last few days? So escaping that.
Yeah.
But back on a bike now.
Yep, of today.
Yeah.
Yeah, first ride back. And like, I don't know. It's annoying not being able to be on my bike, but I'm not worried. Like, I know my wrist will get better and I can stay fit by running and doing swimming and I'm still in the gym and stuff like that. So the progress is still going on. So... I'm more than happy to give this wrist as much time as it needs because I don't want anything to do with it for the rest of the year, kind of thing.
Yeah. So. Yeah, so compared to last off season where you were feeling pretty broken, actually you're in a fairly good place going and getting stronger and
completely, like, although this year was difficult, it was challenging because I had to go through things that were hard, like the whole unknown of having a concussion, building back up and just kind of being like, right, okay, let's just end this now. I, like, was so motivated once the season was over because I was like, right, sweet, because finally I can get a good winter in and I can come back next year and be competitive because I don't like not being fully competitive. So yeah,
not much fun.
No,
exactly. Not where you want to be, is it? So
yeah. So although last year was difficult, it wasn't as bad as 2018. 2018 yeah. was rough.
Good stuff. And then off to New Zealand for some slightly sunnier training environment.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. Warmer, more light, closer gym, closer trails, chairlift. It's just
mint.
Efficient training for me, and that's what I like.
Yeah. Where are you going to base yourself? Have you?
I'll be in Christchurch.
Okay, yeah. Nice. Yeah, so you've got plenty of trails on your doorstep and everything you need.
Yeah, totally. Plan is to head to Nelson for a little bit, probably go down to Queenstown, up to Rotorua, you know, try and keep expanding the variety of trails and terrain that I ride, to keep the skills sharp so I don't just get good at one thing. And that island's amazing. Like, it's got so many different spots with such different riding. Not that far away.
Yeah, a few hours, really.
Yeah, like if I want alpine riding, I need to drive, you know, 10, 12 hours, well, no, 18 hours.
Yeah.
We're talking 18 hours. There, I will drive, you know, go to Cardrona, and that's actually quite alpine there. And that's maybe four or five hours.
Yeah.
It's not really that far. And then you've got Queenstown just around the corner. You've got Alexandra there as well. Like, amazing stuff.
Perfect. Well, there's plenty of fast Kiwi riders, so.
Yep.
It must work.
A couple of races, yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
Wicked. And any big changes for next year other than vlogging? Are you doing anything kind of on the bike side of things or?
Not yet. I've put my fork to 170.
Okay.
So that's quite a good change.
Were you from what? You're on 160 before?
Yeah, I was on 160 before. Which is quite nice. I'm not looking to change too much on the bike. I really like my bike, you see.
Good.
I really like it. Well, we've got the Axis stuff now.
Ah, nice.
Yeah, the electric gears.
Yeah.
Which is surprising how quick I got used to that, because the paddle's actually quite different. Because you're like, well, I've got it set so I click up, that changes to make it easier, and click down to make it harder.
Okay.
And it's quite a different movement to the normal shifter, but actually transferred over pretty easy. And I just love it. It's just so efficient.
So easy as well, like no energy and...
Yeah. Just tapping. Yeah. Also got a 125mm dropper post for the first time in my life. I've had 100mm for the past
Okay, that make a huge difference.
It does. So like, what was it? 25mm different.
Yeah.
But wow. Like a couple of times in Whistler, that was the first time I rode it. In Whistler, I was going down something steep, sort of getting bucked a little bit. And I was like, I could just get my weight back. And it just stayed down. And rather than being like, oh, I'm going to die.
Yeah, it's huge, isn't it? I've went from 125 to 150. Was very happy with that.
Like, it's insane.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like that much. It actually makes a big difference.
Yeah, big difference. Mm. You've not been tempted to try a smaller rear wheel?
Is no, no.
Not something you're very comfortable on the 29 front and rear?
Yeah. Yeah.
Good stuff. Still all right. Wicked. Well, we're getting close to the end of our time. We should let you go and get some dinner because we're about to eat a chickpea curry and that's not going to go down very well.
That's not going to go well with me.
But we've got one new question at the end of the podcast, and that is, what's one thing that you do every day that you feel benefits you?
Sleep.
Yeah, we talked a bit about sleep last time. I think you just read the Matt Walker book.
Yeah. That's the first thing that comes to mind.
Have you got any better at sleep since we last spoke? Have you found anything that helps you?
I'm a pretty good sleeper. I've got this Whoop band now.
Ah, you've heard about these. Yeah.
I gave in to Instagram adverts, but actually I just thought it would be an interesting way to track data because it tells you how recovered you are or not.
Yeah.
So I'm still figuring that out. I've not had it for too long yet.
So it's measuring heart rate variability, I think, is
yes,
it?
Yeah. And the strain, and it measures your heart rate like a lot of times.
Yeah.
All through the day.
And your sleep quality and all of
that. And your sleep quality and everything. So that's an interesting way to... I guess just see what's going on and keep track of how much sleep I'm actually getting and not getting and the benefits or not. And I think a little bit of motivation as well, because you see the score in the morning, oh, you only got... I usually get 100% or more of my sleep thing because I just sleep like a train.
Excellent. And do you find that your recovery's been pretty good? Like, because it gives you a percentage recovered, doesn't it, I think?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, pretty good. Because it's still getting to know me at the moment. That's the thing. And because I've only just started training, I think it's not built up enough to know me fully yet.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
Once you've done, like, maybe I'm sort of 2-3 months deep in training, it might be like, oh, you are tired.
Yeah,
I'm like,
have
yes, I am.
Yeah, I've seen Kate Courtney's uses one, I think, the cross-country racer.
Yeah.
I've seen her posting things of like her percentage recovered and lets you know how hard you can go in training.
Yeah, it's which I think, clever. Especially for cross-country athletes and stuff, so easy to overtrain.
Mm-hmm.
So keeping an eye on that, I think, is really important. And any tool that can kind of help, even just justify the way you're feeling. Like, you might feel a little bit tired and be like, but I think I'm okay. See your recovery. Oh, yeah, I am okay. That's fine.
Yeah.
You might be like, oh, this doesn't feel so good. And you look at it and go, oh, yeah, no, maybe I do need to just actually chill out.
Yeah.
You know, just helps have sort of almost give you two minds looking at the same thing.
Yeah, another tool in the armour, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
Got to be good. Definitely. Yeah, cool. Well, remind people where they can find you on social media if they want to keep up with what you're up to.
Yeah, keep up with the vlogs. You're best just to go to at Miss Winton on Instagram, and you'll probably find everything you need there.
And there'll be a link there at some point to the vlog when it's live.
Yeah, it should hopefully be live before this, because otherwise I've told you all the secrets.
We can hold this back a little while. Yeah. Depends how long you take to edit it, though.
I'm hoping in the next 24 hours.
So. Oh, wow, okay. Yeah, we're definitely not going live in 24 hours.
Sick.
Perfect.
Thanks so much for having me on again.
Absolute pleasure. Yeah, it's been super nice to catch up. Enjoy the rest of your week, and have a great time in New Zealand.
Thank you.
And yeah, we look forward to seeing how you get on next year.
Thanks.
All right. Cheers.
See you.
Right, that's it for this episode with Katie. I hope you've enjoyed listening. Katie would like to say a special thanks to James Brickle, Katie Serplin, Jamie Scott, Annika Tiplady, the NZ Doctor, Hennings Winkles and Joanne Varnes from Clinic for Allah in Sola, Norway, for all of their help and expertise throughout the concussion. A massive thanks to the awesome listeners who supported this episode of the podcast with their Share the Love donations. Don't forget that if you fancy giving Ben's complete mountain bike program a go, then as a downtime listener, you can get 50% off your first month or an annual subscription for £300 using the code DOWNTIME, all lowercase at the checkout until the end of January. Just head to thestrengthfactory.uk and click on programs, or follow the link in the show notes over on downtimepodcast.com. You can give it a go risk-free, as you'll be covered by Ben's money-back guarantee. If you've got a couple of minutes, then leave us a review wherever it is that you listen to the podcast. Give us a follow on social media, where we're at Downtime Podcast. Subscribe to the show so you get all of our episodes delivered straight to your device. And if you want to help support the podcast, then share the love at downtimepodcast.com/shop. Also, please keep on spreading the word, telling your friends about the podcast, and sharing our episodes on your social media. All right, there's another awesome episode coming up soon, but until then, get out and ride.